it's a myth to think that racists are unusual. We are a white supremacist society. We are a society that on its face values white people, what they do and their body, their integrity, more than people of color, not just African Americans, but all people of color.
How it could be possible that we as a nation still allow guns to fall into the hands of people whose hearts are filled with hate? You can't watch massacre after massacre and not come to the conclusion that, as President Obama said, we must tackle this challenge. Came, we saw, he died.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Wondering if your dad really is an African American man.
Gotcha, bitch!
That's a very... I mean, I don't know what you're implying.
There are many European countries that are much better off.
Oh, you mean like the European countries with a higher density of whites, like Northern Europe?
That's one way to phrase it, I guess.
You don't mean Turkey.
No.
You don't mean Eastern Europe.
No.
With the communists. So the only time you can come up with a system that's better than America, it's a country that's more white than America.
The American dream is dead.
Hello, 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 and welcome to another edition of the Return of Tear. I want to thank all my Burger King eating undomesticated terrorists out there that want to turn the Jews blue. I thank you for listening. I know that you're the majority of white people out there in the world and the majority of white people that listen to this show, so I do appreciate your listens. Of course, I'm being facetious here, but welcome to the show. I was not here last week, wasn't able to make the roundtable either, and I apologize for that. I was really looking forward to hosting, but something else came up that I had to take care of. So, yeah, missed quite a lot. I really wanted to hammer the Rachel Dolezal issue, but couldn't be here last week. And now it's kind of fizzled out because some prick had to go shoot up a black church and stole all the thunder away from my girl Rachel. And I'm saddened by that, very saddened. She was getting so much attention, and now all the attention is on some little white punk, you know. It's unfair. I wrote part of a song here I want to play for you about Rachel Dolezal. They pronounce it about a million different ways, but here's 44 seconds of my song about Rachel Dolezal and transracialism.
Yeah, the Return of Tear, representing Renegade Records, about to bring it down for y'all on transracialism. Shit. The song goes out to Rachel Dolezal. I love you, baby girl. What do you do when the media tries to lynch you of your trans identity insanity? Feel like I'm listening to Sean Hannity, spitting in the mic because I'm representing humanity. You can't see the black man in me, I smack you upside your headphones for judging me. Is white all you see? Why do you? Trans racism is killing me.
And there you have it. It's still got a lot of work to be done. I don't know when I'll get around to finishing it. Kind of disappointed now that Rachel Dolezal isn't in the media anymore like she used to be. That song could have been a hit, but now it will be overshadowed by Dylan Storm on the Roof, whatever his name is. Maybe I should write a song about him. But that's liable to get me put on a list if I'm not already on it. Don't like being on lists. Just ask the Jews. They don't like being on lists either. It makes them nervous. There was something else I was going to say about that. Was it another clip I had to play for that? Or, shoot. I don't remember what it was right off the top of my head. I remember what it was. I find it kind of funny that, what show is it? The last show I did was 2 weeks ago. So 3 weeks ago, the show that I did was titled White African American. And I think the first 30 minutes, I just did a parody of how I was transracial, and I was realized that I was really a black person on the inside and was embracing my new transracial identity. And it's pretty funny that that term has been used a little bit, not a whole lot, the transracial term. It started to gain more traction, I guess, when the whole Bruce Jenner transgender thing was going on. People, mainly trolls and 4chaners, that were using the term just kind of sarcastically as a joke. But it seems it's now caught on, kind of ironic. I am really disappointed that she is out of the media now. She's out of the limelight because it seemed to me from the coverage that I was seeing that we were really starting to see kind of a discussion in the mainstream media on race and kind of going back to the basics of what is race? Does, you know, is race actually real, or is it, can you be a white person that thinks they're black, or a black person that feels like on the inside they're white, et cetera, and so on? And I think people are coming to the conclusion that, the Bruce Jenner thing, I didn't like it, didn't really agree with it, but, you know, whatever, it's whatever. But then when the Rachel Dozol thing started coming up, a lot of the blacks were like, you know what, she's a freaking fake, transracialism is bullshit, and so is transgenderism, let's be honest. So I think that was a good thing, and I think it's still in people's minds somewhat. And I think it's good. We do need to have a mainstream, I guess, conversation on race, what race really is. Does it really exist? And yes, it does exist, you freaking morons that think otherwise. It's pretty astounding. But before I get into the show, I want to mention that the Daily Shoah did a show on Renegade, or I guess maybe through Renegade. It was syndicated yesterday. I have yet to check it out, but it sounded like it was a pretty good show. Also, Kyle did a show Sunday with Adam and Garth from the Kraz Files. I got through about half of that show earlier today. It was a very, very good show. A lot of interesting topics that I don't usually hear about too much anymore. So that was a very good show. Dion hosted the Roundtable on Saturday, and I want to thank him for doing that. Like I said, I was planning to host it, but was unavailable. And a lot of other good shows. Dana with Aristocracy of Blood, Radio Werewolf, newer host here at the network. Saw that Nick did a Jackal's Den wild card. Have yet to be able to check that one out. And also the interview that Kyle did with the guys from The Right Stuff the week before last, The Daily Shoah. Was a very good show. I thought it was hilarious. One of the funniest shows I've heard, at least on the network, in a while. So thanks to all the people that participated in that. And keep up the good work. So, been a lot in the news lately. Mainly this Dylan Storm Roof storming a church, taking pictures with daisies and pushing up daisies. It's a pretty wild story, is it a false flag? Is it a hoax? Were there crisis actors? I don't know. I don't have a clue. I mean, is there some evidence of some fishy stuff going on? Yes, I think so. One thing, which I don't have like any articles up about this particular tidbit, but from memory, what I was reading about it was, okay, you have this manifesto that's been uncovered, and every website, news website, is saying it's an alleged manifesto. So people acting like this thing is absolutely proven are wrong. Until he comes out and admits that he wrote the manifesto, I won't believe that he wrote it. But then again, Dylan Storm Roof could be a crisis actor. Could be. His website was, I believe, founded in February of this year. And on the front page, I found a cached version on archive.org for the lastrhodesian.com website. It actually took me a long time to find that, and I was almost convinced that the website was never even active and that it was just some kind of chicanery going on. But when you get to the website, you have a picture of Russell. Oh, thinking up here, Russell Crowe in Romper Stomper. Russell Crowe. Don't Russell Crowe's jimmies, guys. It's not good. But picture of Russell Crowe, the Hollywood Nazi in Romper Stomper, was his image on his website of him dead, laying in a pool of blood. And he had photos of himself doing Slav squats, just Slav squatting it out all over the place. That was actually in the description of the show, and it didn't fit in the little box, so I took that out. But the description of the show, where did the page go? yeah, I had said Slavs are no longer squatting or something like that. It's just kind of funny. A lot of people noticed that. They're like, what's up with he's squatting like nearly three quarters of the photos. Like, who does that? It's a little odd. Also, his photos were very reminiscent of Lee Harvey Oswald. Very reminiscent of Lee Harvey Oswald, the photoshopped images, because the originals are out there, of him supposedly holding up weapons and whatnot. So could it be fake? I don't know. I haven't seen enough to say so. And this is the thing to me. It's like you've got the Holocaust, for instance, is all research. And I had read a quote about this. I can't remember what exactly the quote was off the top of my head, but it basically said, the Holocaust happened, so any research otherwise is false because it happened. We are not here to discuss how it happened. We are not here to prove the mechanisms or, you know, how it basically went together. Because it happened, that doesn't matter. It happened because it happened, essentially. So they're trying to prove that the Holocaust is real, in a sense. Maybe I just contradicted myself, but Holocaust is real because it's real. And these events are fake because they're all fake, is the common line that I hear from basically the hoax crowd, is, well, they've done it before because we said they did it before. Have they proven that Sandy Hook was a hoax, and that there was nobody in the school, and that all the families were paid off and no children were killed? Have they proven that? To me, it has not been proven to me, but there is certainly a lot of evidence for that being the case. Now, the difference I see with this Dylan Storm Charleston shooting is that there's really very little physical, photographic, video, or audio evidence of any of it, which I find extremely odd. The church obviously had security cameras on the outside. I'm kind of curious to find out if they had security cameras on the inside. And, you know, there's like a video proof that South Carolina church desks were faked for money. And the proof is that the State Department gave the families $29 million. Is that proof that it was a fake event? No. I mean, as far as the definition of the term, it's not proof. And this is what kind of does annoy me about the truther crowd, is they have proof of everything that isn't exactly proof. It's just evidence of something. They could very well be right. I don't want to necessarily like take a side, because I haven't seen enough information or enough evidence yet to say one way or another to really take a strong opinion on it. But there were active shooter drills going on in the area, in Charleston at that time. Also, his home address, very interesting detail, his home address is owned by a man that is the son of a former reverend at that very church. I find that very odd. Interesting. I mean, it could just be somewhat of a coincidence that this house was owned by this person, and renting it out is possible, but still pretty odd. The media reaction is a hoax. The media reaction, though, is a psyop. The manifesto is very likely to be fake. Looking at the details of how his website was set up, people smarter than I am when it comes to websites were saying it wouldn't have been very hard to basically hack in to his website and upload this document. It wouldn't have been very difficult at all. And it was, I mean, it's posted as a .txt. I can't remember the link for it. It was like the last Rhodesian / R88X or something like that. .txt, which is a very odd way of posting something. Also, the way that he built the website is pretty odd as well. It's like he hand-built it, but I don't know who the hell's doing that anymore. Nothing really makes a whole lot of sense, and his viewpoint on Jews was way off the mark. I could say it was way off the mark based on what most white nationalists or white separatists, white supremacists think. But there are quite a few people that come to mind that think that Jews are white, that they are just like us, that they just have a identity difference. Their identity is in Judaism instead of Christianity or being white. I give a little credence to that when you consider the makeup of Ashkenazi Jews. Many of them are genetically majority European, white European. But there's, 112 Jewish diseases? And I believe most of them actually affect Ashkenazi, but they're the majority of the Jewish population anyway. So Jews definitely are a race. I mean, it's ridiculous. They're not the Khazars. That is, yeah, go read Shlomo Sand's book on how the Khazars converted to Judaism. And that's where the Ashkenazis came from. Yeah, okay, believe a Jew on that one with no evidence. I mean, really look into it. Really look into the Khazar thing. I've looked into it, and everybody says the same exact thing, cites the same exact sources that can't be verified at all. And even if the Khazar Empire did convert to Judaism, did they really become Ashkenazi Jews? Did they really? Is there any validity to that even? Or were they wiped out? Did they mix with Sephardics? And it's just, there's no, I don't see any real credence for that as being a solid theory, but it's one that people like to believe because the Khazars, the area could be, I don't know, affiliated with Magog or some Christian biblical nonsense and prophecies and whatnot. And then believing the Jews aren't a genetic race makes it a lot easier for the people that are like, oh, I'm not racist and I don't believe in race. I just don't like those white supremacists in Israel or those those evil people in Israel, but we're all pretty much the same, and there's no difference. Those people are just they're sick in the head and they're evil for some reason. You know, that type of I guess line of thinking. So, yeah, Khazar theory. Where do I go from there? So yeah, Dylan Storm Roof got some articles up. This is part of the PSYOP, trying to link it to everything imaginable. And I'll just kind of I'll go through the things that I've seen so far that they're trying to say caused it. Fox News came out and they got a token black Dindu to come on the show and say that this was not a racial attack. This was an attack on faith, an attack on Christians. Yeah. Good one, Fox News. Good job. You guys are really, you're really ahead of the game. You guys are smart. So that was Fox News' line, and they're probably still saying that ridiculous crap. All the liberal news websites are, of course, saying it's white supremacy, the Confederate flag. They're saying it's Christians. Also, how that makes sense. Oh, Dylan Storm was a devout Christian. He went to church every week. He went to Bible camp. He was a big Christian. He's baptized in a Lutheran church. So it was Christianity that caused him to go shoot up black Christians. Yeah, that makes a whole lot of sense, doesn't it? And also, yeah, racism is, I mean, if the manifesto is legit, that would seem to be the most plausible reason. Even though, well, I'm not going to get into that. What was the other thing that they're blaming it on? They're blaming it on a Council of Conservative Citizens. They're saying that he was alleged to have been a poster on the Daily Stormer. And what's the other thing? They're just trying to blame the GOP. They're saying like right wingers like Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity have caused this through their rhetoric. I'm like, what rhetoric are you talking about? Those people don't give a fuck about us. They don't give a crap about the white race. The only color they care about is green and gold in their pockets, in their bank account. That's all they care about. I don't think they really care about much else, to be honest. I think they would literally become, if the country got taken over by communists, Rush Limbaugh would be a communist. He'd be like, you know, I've had a change of heart. These guys are really doing a good job out here. And I could make a good money doing radio, communist radio. I can't do a good Rush Limbaugh. I don't know anybody that can. But yeah, they would flip. They're not real people. Rush Limbaugh is a robot. A robot that runs on Percocet. Or whatever the hell, Valium, whatever he's on. So they're trying to pin it on anything that they can pin it on, basically. And so here's an article from the Daily Mail. Pictured the white supremacist whose hate-filled website inspired Charleston church shooter Dylan Roof. Kyle Rogers. I was thinking of that, what's that kid's name? Aaron Rogers. A kid that shot, what did he do? I don't know, he killed some people in California because he couldn't get laid. Hey, maybe he was reading the Daily Stormer too. I'm just kidding, but Kyle Rogers of South Carolina writes inflammatory posts on the website for white supremacist group Council of Conservative Citizens. Dylan Roof said he first started reading the website in 2012 and was never the same. Blah, blah, blah. Now, if anybody can give me some background on this Kyle Rogers guy, like as soon as I saw his face, I was like, he looks familiar. And I was like, well, I've probably seen his picture on Council of Conservative Citizens website or somewhere else, but I swear to God, this guy has done a YouTube video where he was trying to sell something. Something that had nothing to do with like white nationalism or anything. I swear he did internet marketing or or something. Like, I've seen his face. I can picture him. So if anybody knows if maybe he has or not, I'd be interested in finding out. The guy, I don't know. He looks like, I wouldn't buy a car from him. I just wouldn't buy a car from him. He's kind of got that smile like, yep, I got you. You're a sucker. But I don't know. I don't want to say anything bad about the guy. I don't know really anything about him. And, you know, people hate on the Council of Conservative Citizens for different issues and whatnot. Some legitimate reasons for that. But as far as what news, what they do is they post news. And they do a damn good job of it. And they rarely miss any black-on-white crimes. So I definitely applaud them for that. And the products that they have for sale up there are very reasonably priced. The shirts and whatnot, and they look like they're pretty good quality. So they seem pretty good to me, at least on those two levels. But I'll get into some things that I don't really like about at least one of the people connected to the CCC. So they're trying to link it to him because Mr. Roof said in his alleged manifesto that, you know, this was the website that woke him up to black-on-white violence. Now, it says the CCC founder, Gordon Baum, died in March. And I had heard, somebody told me this, and I believe they told me that he was definitely Jewish. I'm not completely sure about that. I've never looked into it for myself, but a name like Baum sure does beg the question, I would say. So Rogers took over, and he's a tech-savvy computer engineer. So maybe he did used to do internet marketing or something. I don't know. And maybe he did YouTube videos. I swear, I've seen his face in a video that had nothing to do with white nationalism or conservatism. But yeah, apparently he's the Council of Conservative Citizens has called Michael Jackson an ape and said that black people are a retrograde species of humanity. Now, retrograde, wouldn't that basically be like de-evolving, going backwards? Retrograde, directed or moving backwards, yep. So they're a backwards species. I'm not gonna comment on that. I'd say you could definitely provide quite a lot of evidence of that being true, and I'll leave it at that. Rogers dubbed a rising star of the far right. And it just goes on and on. I guess facts, reporting facts, are racist because that's all they did. They were very, very, very mild. And they were not disparaging to other races in the articles that I've read. And they'd even promote some different non-whites at times that said things that they liked. And then you got the I believe, Garcia. Kyle's interviewed him. I can't remember his full name, but Garcia something. Cortiana, something like that. Apparently had to resign or leave from Nikki Haley's campaign because of his connections to the Council of Conservative Citizens. And he's not white. He's Cuban, or at least half. He's like half white, maybe half Cuban, something like that. But he's definitely not white. So kind of puts a damper on their little white and white supremacy nonsense. I mean, if the Council of Conservative Citizens is the head of white supremacy, then damn, I've not been paying attention to the movement or something. Also, Hate Watch, SPLC, they love to watch hate. A bunch of sick bastards. Says that it appears that the Charleston church shooter, Dylan Roof, may have even been more immersed in the online white supremacist movement than previously thought. Blah, 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 blah. They searched a key 18-word passage and found that someone had just about verbatim posted a comment on the Daily Stormer under the username ArianBlood1488. So they're trying to say that he was a Stormer, which Andre has come out and said he looked into it and found the comments that this guy had said, and there were some things that kind of contradicted what he said in the manifesto at points, and some of it kind of aligned with the manifesto. But he said that the comments were always made from a proxy IP address with, you know, like three different email addresses. So it could be that somebody used the username. Maybe he did use the username, but somebody else had posted under that username. It's really basically impossible to tell at this point whether or not it was him. But it's kind of beside the point. I'm sure there's a lot of non-white nationalist people that post comments over there on the Daily Stormer. I'd argue that 50% of the comments there are not legitimate comments, just from reading them. It seems like a lot of them really are fake. Some of them are made by Jews or liberals, whatnot. But interesting that they tried to link it to that. What other article did I got up here? The other one is that they think his cousin thinks that he went over the edge when an unrequited love interest started dating a black man. So there's that. The black man stole his woman, so he decided to shoot a bunch of mostly elderly black women in a church. That makes a whole lot of sense. But here's the interesting thing that I noticed. Leader of far-right group praised by Charleston church shooter Dylan Roof donated thousands to presidential candidate Ted Cruz. Earl Holt III donated to Rick Santorum, Ted Cruz, and Rand Paul campaigns. FEC filings show he donated $65,000 to candidates, $8,500 to Cruz. So, where's the breakdown of what he gave? Spewing internet hate. Okay. $8,500 to Cruz, $1,750 to Ron Paul, $1,500 to Santorum, $3,200 to Michelle Bachmann in 2012. That 2000 to Mitt Romney's 2012 campaign and 3200 to Michelle Bachmann. Now, this is the question I have. Do you think that Earl Holt III is representing your interests as a white person by donating to Rand Paul, to Ted Cruz? What kind of white supremacist gives money to a guy that's not white or that, by white supremacist standards, isn't white? Ted Cruz isn't white. He's mixed. How can you be a white supremacist and give money to Ted Cruz? And also, how can you be for the white people, for the betterment of white people or the protection of white people, and give money to a guy that's going to flood our country with immigrants? Ted Cruz is pro-pathway to immigration, pro-amnesty, as far as I know, unless he's changed his mind. So is Rand Paul. So is Michelle Bachmann. So are every fucking Republican, it seems like, in the damn party. Open borders. Wants more immigrants here. So that is kind of frustrating to me. You know, I think there's quite a lot of white nationalists and white people that would run for office if they could get funding, but I guess this guy's too busy giving money to somebody that is already bought off and doesn't need any more money, instead of giving it to somebody like Ransdell, which, heck, you know, had he given it to Ransdell, think of what he could have done with that. Could have made a pretty big impact. Now, I know they probably wouldn't want to be linked with Ransdell, but, you know, go for somebody else, at least. Somebody that's not pro-Israel. Ted Cruz, if you don't stand with Israel, I'm not going to stand with you. Yeah, that guy really has our interest at heart, doesn't he? But then again, I guess the Jews are white, aren't they? or at least they look white to Jared Taylor and a lot of these other dumbasses that don't seem to want to really say what they know to be true, because I know they're not stupid, but they're politicians. They're politically minded people, which basically means they're natural liars and benders of the truth. So yeah, that kind of pissed me off to see that this guy had given money to Ted Cruz. With Jews We Win, Ted Cruz's new campaign slogan, I think, is "With Jews We Win." Actually, he stole it from this guy. He's going to be making a video. I had talked about this before. There's going to be a new candidate that's going to announce his running for the Chavez Party. Shalom Solomon. You might have seen him in my YouTube video on my channel on YouTube, The Return of Tyr. A YouTube channel, Shalom Solomon. He's going to be running for president for the Chavez Party. And what is he was telling me about his campaign the other day, what he wanted. He told me he had a great motto or great tagline. He played off of Ransdell. It was "With Jews We Win." And I guess Ted Cruz caught wind of it and stole it. But I think he's going to run with it. So the Chavez Party, "With Jews We Win," "Make Israel the 51st state," which also in that we would consolidate, the U.S. would consolidate Syria, Libya, what's another country in that? I forget, there's another country in there. They would consolidate those into Greater Israel, and then Greater Israel would become the 51st state. Jews will be made immune from all crimes because Jews have never committed a crime. He's got a really good platform. I think it will be popular with the unwashed masses. I mean, the American people. So look forward to that. I think he's going to be doing some videos in the future. But let's see what else I can get to here. I've got a ton of tabs open with articles, and my computer's running really slow. Oh, okay, this was a wild story. A former Mobank firefighter says Facebook post was taken out of context. This man, Curtis Cook, at the Mobank Fire Department, was terminated because he's alleged to have said on Facebook in response to the Charleston shooting that he needs to be praised for the good deed he has done, referring to allegedly or presumably referring to the shooter. What's his name? Dylan Roof. I keep forgetting his name. Now, he's come out and said, "I was responding to someone," where was it at? He said, he said, "When I was looking at the threads and, you know, I was just reading down and there was a person there that posted that was donating a large sum of money to the victims. So I just said, this person ought to be praised for his good deed." So he's saying that he was praising someone for donating to the families. It's probably the truth. Some people started a thread on, I think, 4chan on 8chan, and were talking about it. Maybe it was on poll or something. I was scrolling through and saw that, where all it is a screenshot of him saying it and someone responding. There's no context. It's just that one line. It doesn't show what he was commenting in reference to. But he still got terminated, which is pretty sad. And it could have been, even had there actually been something that it looked like, you know, he was responding to, it still could have been photoshopped. I mean, seriously, who's to say it wasn't? Where's the evidence? I mean, it's ridiculous that somebody can lose their job over somebody photoshopping something. Oh, ridiculous. So there's that. Hopefully the guy is serious and was legit. And maybe he'll get his job back. but that is yet to be seen. Yeah, I got another article up, New York Times, on Mr. What was his name? Earl Holt. Almost said Cook. Doesn't really say anything else. I think maybe it's a little bit expanded as far as the candidates. What's weird, it says, Mr. Holt, who identified himself in some donation records as a Texas slumlord, has also given money to a number of other current and former Republican members of Congress, including Jeff Flake of Arizona, Rob Portman of Ohio, Michelle Bachmann, Steve King of Iowa, and Todd Akin of Missouri. So very, very interesting. This is a good question. Why would he identify himself in the donation records as a Texas slumlord? Maybe he's just trying to be funny. I just don't see who you're trying to make laugh in that. And while we were all focused on this Dylann Roof story, the GOP House ousted or purged some Republicans that voted against the Obama trade. I believe that was the TPA bill, which I believe they passed Obama trade or the TPP today. Where did that article go? Let me see. Yikes. Well, I see I have a caller. I'll go ahead and bring you up while I'm looking for this article. Not in a big rush, so 614, you are on the air.
Hey, Drew, what's going on, man?
Hey, is this Ray?
Yeah.
Hey, how's it going?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's not going that well. We live in, like, one of these condo complexes, Now it's basically turned into an apartment complex, and I've basically just been going out screaming at the Groids, and I don't care. I'd go out and scream, as a strong white man, and just tell them to shut up. Oh, yeah, and this woman out there, she said she was, like, knocked in the face by her. Of course, she's got black kids, so... who the husband is, or who the boyfriend was, right?
Yeah.
So I just told her to take care of it, and guess what? I called the police, and guess what? There's too many stabbings and shootings that they can't even send a police car over here.
Wow.
Can you imagine that? Yeah.
Isn't that
cute?
Crazy.
That's terrible. Man. It is, and... I can't wait to move. We're going to move to either West Virginia or Pennsylvania. Pauly Tepetti, he's the poker face guy. He's like 49 years old, and, he heads the band Poker Face, and he's going up to Freedom Palooza 2015, the fifth year anniversary of that. And he's been in the truth movement for quite a while. Yeah, he's a Christian, but you know what? Drew, you were a Christian, and I just think the whole Christian thing is just, it's supposed to split us all up. I think it's a Judaic plan, because parts of the New Testament are very, very good, and of course
I would
the
agree.
Testament. Yeah.
There's some good in there.
Yeah, And Drew, I mean, I really looked up to you, and it just sucks to just realize how much we've been mind controlled and brainwashed. And the Old Testament. I mean, come on, Charles Giuliani, he's just put it out there, cited line and verse how Yahweh, commanded the death and murder of women and children. Babies,
yeah.
Young suckling infants, and blah blah blah, but in the New Testament it doesn't quite say that. So, something to look.
Go ahead. If I had to choose between the two, I would definitely pick the New Testament.
Exactly. I mean, Yeah, and you get, guess what? I believe the New Testament was written, or it was actually put into context through other sources of religion. You know what I mean? I mean, like Buddhism or I don't know. But
There's a lot of evidence towards that, that it at least gathered some, like some of the concepts or some of the sayings were known sayings of the time. And there was an amount of either plagiarism or just using what was, I mean, sometimes there's things that are said that you can't help but copy because there's no better way to say them.
Right. Right.
So.
Am I still here?
Yeah, you're still here.
I thought I heard something. But yeah, I mean, it's just, it's unbelievable. I mean, you know, there is so much good in the New Testament. And we need to, like, pick out the good from it. You know, because, I mean, my gosh, I mean, because there is goodness in it, you know? I mean, you know, but yeah, you can't just turn the other cheek. Of course not.
Mm-hmm.
But you definitely got to pull that goodness out of it. You
yeah,
know?
I mean,
and,
my opinion on it is it's not for me, but some people, it doesn't really bother me. As long as they're not bothered. You know, if they're Christian and they think, well, I can't associate with you because you're a pagan or you don't believe in my God, so therefore you're my enemy or something like that. As long as they don't have that kind of attitude, I don't really have a problem with it. But it definitely, there's some aspects of it that have been used against our people at different times. Just like with immigration, they've tried to use Christianity. With the civil rights, they try to use Christianity. So anything that's really popular, though, is going to be used subversively, I would say. But I kind of see what you're getting at with it. I can agree and I can disagree to a certain extent. It's just what – it's the kind – I guess the brand or the kind of Christianity that is the problem in the world right now, Christian Zionism and things like that. That's what I have a problem with, but – you know, I know a lot of Christians. I know I have Christian callers and listeners, and you know, I have a problem with them. And most of them are pretty good if I say some stuff that's like anti-Christian. So I think it's a matter of not getting upset, I guess, about it. The ones that don't get upset, I have a lot of respect for, and it shows to me that they really do follow at least some of the teachings that are in the book. So.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the goodness, you know, we have to be good to each other. You know, we have to be wholesome and pure and just treat each other like, you know, as good as we can do, not like gold, because what's that? But no, Drew, let me tell you this. I went to an AA meeting, all right, last Friday night, all right, and this black guy, he was actually... he was the lead speaker, right? And he said that, you know, his father, like, came down and stabbed his son to death and stuff. And, man, I ran out of the meeting at that point. I mean, it's like, oh, wow. My God. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, Mike, and all the white people were there just, yeah, it was one black guy speaking to, you know, 50 white people or whatever, and I was just I've had enough. I mean, my
wow.
God. I mean, give me a flipping break.
Yeah.
You're really gonna stab your only son? You really, or even if it's your second son or your third son? No, you might threaten him or threaten to do something to him, but you're not gonna actually. Well, I guess they do. You know, that's the way they rock and roll, right? But my dad, he took a sledgehammer to my door, went, you know, and, you know, this and that, because I slammed the door so hard shut where he couldn't get in. And he took a sledgehammer to my door, and I ran out the door. You know, this was, I was like 15,
yeah.
You know, but he wasn't going to, you know, stab me or you know, he maybe okay. wanted to beat my ass or something, but he wasn't going to stab me, you know. My God, man.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, Ray, if you didn't have any other comments, I wanted to get to this next article. Is there anything else you wanted to kind of close out with? Or?
Oh, man, just the shooting was just probably false. I mean, I've listened to Eli James. I listened to Kyle Hunt, Robert Ravolt. I've listened to just about everybody, and, you know, it could be staged. You know, I mean, just like all the rest are, so,
mm-hmm.
I mean, why shouldn't this be, right? Why shouldn't
yep.
it be? And,
my opinion on it is, I think it's plausible that this could happen, just based on the climate of things and how it's like as a white person in the past, really in the past 2 years, it feels like we're just getting spit on all the time. And anytime we try to, like, complain or raise an issue, they just bemoan us and act like, oh, you're just a bunch of babies. Like, this isn't happening. Even though you can cite facts. Your source is, that's a fake source. Or you quote FBI crime statistics. Oh, well, the FBI, they're racist, you know.
Oh, yeah, there hasn't been, like, 30,000 rapes against white girls, by blacks. Oh, no. That could never be. No, but seriously, I mean, okay, lastly, this is my last point, then I'll let you go and continue because you're doing a good, smash-up, bang-up job, Drew. The white race is trying to be decimated, but guess what? We're going to resurrect ourselves from... not the dead, but we're going to resurrect ourselves and we're going to stand up and say no. And that's all we got to do. No, N-O. Stop it.
Yeah.
You know, to these evil liars, okay, period. I mean, no, you can't do this anymore. We've had it. You know, all of our white civilizations are being decimated and destroyed. No. And like I say, we should form a party called the Truth Party, period. Not the Freedom Party, not American Freedom Party, no. The Truth Party, period. Because we're going to tell the truth 24 hours a day, 365,000 days a year, now. And you know what? You can't shake a stick or rub a bush on us because we're going to get you. You know what? In more ways than one. We're going to get
right.
you. If you keep trying to fool us, hey, just like Georgie Boy said, hey, fool me once, shame on you. Twice, shame on me. Yeah, right.
Yep.
Give me a break. You're not going to fool us no more. We know what's going on. But, hey, Drew, you're doing a great job. And, you know, I just wish that, you know, the sledgehammer would eventually... you know, pull his head up out of the doldrums and say hello again once in a while. You know, he pull himself up and just say, hey, my name is Mike Sledge and I'm going to kick your ass. because he was a good guy. You know, maybe he screwed up things, but so what? Damn it. I mean, he can always apologize and come back to life, you know? Just like that song from Evanescence, Wake Me Up. You remember that song?
Yeah, I know what you're talking
about.
Yeah,
who
knows?
Awesome.
I hope, you know, I haven't heard anything or any sign of life of Mike in a long time, but, you know, I wish the best for him. I hope he's happier now, because he definitely didn't sound very happy when he was on the radio for those last couple months. So hopefully he's doing better.
Well,
that's what I'm hoping. So.
Well, Tom CT called up to you know, the Kyle show, Solar Storm, and you know, they got those guys were aligned a little bit. So whatever. I mean, you know, just everybody needs to just cut the crap and just get together and fight evil. Right?
I got you.
And it goes back to the Bible. I mean, you know, what is the New Testament about? It's fighting evil. I mean, yeah, you could just, oh, Jesus was for the Jews, blah, blah, blah. But how do you know that they didn't corrupt that message?
Yeah.
They wrote that crap out. That, well, yeah, sure, Jesus was a liar. Oh, we're only supposed to believe that the Jews are the chosen people and Jesus only cares for the Jews and I'm for the Jews. And give me a break. I mean, it's all about the truth and it's all about good versus evil, Drew. Good versus evil, and we're the good guys, and they're the bad guys, and we got to go get them, intellectually or physically.
Okay. All right, Ray. I think we'll end it on that. Thank you for calling in. Have a good night,
man. Sure
thing. Don't let the hood get to you where you're at.
Oh man, no. This used to be a nice hood over here, but. Not no more.
I see them every day, man. They change like lightning. I mean, as soon as you get a majority of another race in, I mean, over about 20-30%, everybody else starts moving out, and you end up with a few whites that can't leave, they can't afford it, or they you know, it's their place. They want to stay there. It's their home.
The bad thing about it is that our next-door neighbors are white, and they promote, like, the blacks,
mm-hmm.
you know, and, you know, they all run around in the back and just scream and shout like wild Indians, and my God, they don't even have, like, a source of, you know, like, when I was a kid, we used to, like, go around and play frisbee golf and stuff, you know, we would mm-hmm. run around the neighborhood, like, you know, throwing the frisbee to, you know, to the street signs and stuff. I mean, we would play croquet, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we weren't just like, you know, shouting around like evil dumbasses.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we had a clue, you know. But evidently, I guess the kids now, they don't. But all right, Drew,
yeah.
Well, hey, man. I mean, you know, I try my best. My God. I mean, I got four cats here. They're bothering me, but I love them anyways. They're cute.
All right, Ray. Well, take care. I'm getting ready to go to a music break. So take care. Thanks for calling in. All right, that was Ray. Been a long time caller. Ray's been calling in for, I don't even know, at least like 3 years now or something. But always interesting caller. And so I'm going to go to a song here that I think kind of fits with the show, The Rustling. We are in The Rustling officially now. And so this song is Shut It Down by, what does that guy go by? Used to be, he's got like a couple YouTube channels, Aryan Troll, Tyrant Fascister, and Moriyaku. He does the Merchant Minute. For the Daily Show, and the guys over there at therightstuff.biz. So this is Shut It Down. You probably heard it before on the network if you've been listening for a while. And so here it is. I'll be back in about 4 minutes. Enjoy.
Oy vey. Oy gewalt. It's like another show. My Jimmy's on a ride on the mountain tonight. I'm rustled to the bones. I need 1,000 shills for backup, but it looks like I'm alone. Goyama howling with their racist stormfront pride. Couldn't shill alone, Yahweh knows I've tried. Won't let you win, won't set you free. Be the good guy that you're supposed to be. In 6 trillion, much doubt they sow. The goyim know. Shut it down, shut it down. Can't speak your mind anymore. Shut it down, shut it down. No free speech for the good. Your rights end where my feelings begin. Let the storefront rage. We're just gonna shut it down anyways. It's funny how television makes real big things seem small. And I use a box to control you. 6 trillion Jews did fall. It's time to cheat and lie and Jew to build up Zion and break you. No right, no wrong, no rules for me. I'm free. Shut it down, shut it down. My holy kingdom is divine. Shut it down, shut it down. Kiss your lands and homes goodbye. Your rights end where my feelings begin. Let the Arabs rage on. My power currency drives markets to the ground. Your soul is spiraling to television's Piper sound. And my hand waves and it is made to come to pass. I'll shut down every goy, my whim is their command. Shut it down, shut it down. I raise a third temple at dawn. Shut it down, shut it down. The age of the goy. That's where my house is going to be after we bulldoze these Palestinians. That plot right over there. Shabbat shalom, you bastards.
So there you have it. Shut it down by, I don't know how you pronounce that guy's name, Moriyaku or something like that. From therightstuff.biz, the Daily Shoah. And I have a very special treat. I'm glad I didn't forget about this clip. There has been a Dr. William Luther Pierce unearthed recording. New recording. Never been heard before. Found it on YouTube the other day. You can find it on the channel D. Howard Hyatt. It's titled Dr. William Luther Pierce Unearthed Recording. It's a very short one, but I found it very interesting. I think you'll enjoy it as well. So it'll be back in about a minute.
Dr. William Luther Pierce, 2014, Autism and the Movement.
Hello. Recently, my listeners have sent me various internet links to websites known as 4chan.net/new and 4chan.org/poll and asked me what I thought of them. Well, I'll tell you. I, for one, enjoy the epic memes and funny pictures, and I think they've got their attitude on the Jews spot on. My favorite memes are Lay Happy Merchant and The Slapper, also known as Daddy Howard, a homosexual slapper from the Jewish paradise of San Francisco. I hope to see more funny memes in the future. Thanks for being with me again today.
So there you go, Dr. William Pierce back from the grave to do a recording on the funny memes over at 4chan and 4chan, which is, website's not active anymore, it's on 8chan, but, and there's a lot of the, a lot of slapper images over there. If you've never seen them, you have no idea what I'm talking about, but, pretty revolting stuff, if you ask me, but kind of fun. So yeah, that was a funny clip. That guy's got a few other, or could be a woman, I don't know. But that channel has quite a few funny videos on it, so it's worth maybe checking into. You know, I thought about making a website the other day. I've thought about making a lot of websites, but never really made but a few, or really just one mainly. But what I had a name for it. It was I think it was loljews.com, a website for making fun of Jews. And because I go through YouTube and I always come across these funny videos talking about Jews or, you know, white nationalism and things like that, and they're so scattered, it's impossible to find them. There's no way of really searching for them. So we need an loljews.com, or maybe an lolocost.com, so we can have all these videos posted in one place, these audios and funny songs, funny articles, maybe even some stand-up comedy and things like that. I think it would be interesting. I mean, the Jews have Comedy Central, so they make anti-white comedy. I think we could have a website, one little website about Jewish, not Jewish comedy, but white comedy about Jews. So there's that. But before Ray called in, I was looking for this article. I found it. This on the Obama trade. I really get sick of Obamacare, Obama trade, Obama, Obama. Shut up already. He's a, what do they call this? He's a house Negro. This guy does jack shit. People want to give him credit. Like, Obamacare sucks. Obama trade sucks. But it's too good for him to even have cooked it up. Are you people stupid? Are you dense? And the Republicans fall into this trap. All they're doing is, it just helps, makes the left, it divides people. It makes the left go, oh yeah, Obama trade, Obamacare. Yeah, Obamacare. Yeah, Obama is looking out for me, you dumbass whitey Republicans. You know, it just polarizes things in a very stupid way. Let's call it the Gook trade bill. How about that? The Gook trade bill, the Trans-Pacific Partnership. But here's the article. Marco Rubio cast deciding vote for Obama trade without even reading it. Senator Marco Rubio cast the deciding vote for Obama trade on Tuesday as it squeaked through the U.S. Senate. See, now they're saying Obama trade. I want to find out if this is the TPA or the TPP. Let's see if I can figure out. Okay, later this week, send to President Obama's desk the Trade Promotion Authority bill that would fast-track at least three highly secretive trade deals that Obama has been negotiating for years. Yeah, Obama's been negotiating them, hasn't he? He's been doing it all by himself. Nobody's helped him. It's just Obama. Just like Bush knocked down the towers, didn't he? What's that? How's that song go? Bush knocked down the towers. It was you, nigga. It was you, nigga. A stupid freaking truth or retardation. Forget that rapper's name, but he's fallen into obscurity, I'm sure. That nigga, Bush, he knocked down the towers, guys. Along with Dick, that nigga Dick Cheney, too. Moving on. It says TPA will now that it... Who wrote this? Maybe Obama wrote this. That's what I'm guessing. TPA will, now that it's going to pass, effectively ensure the congressional approval of the Trans-Pacific Partnership Trade and Services Agreement and Transatlantic Trade and Investment Partnership. Last time we had something that was transatlantic and involved trade, I'm pretty sure that it ended up being a bad thing. Transatlantic blank trade. If somebody in the chat figures out what I'm talking about, they get they get 50,000 shekel bits. It's the new currency, shekel bits. Transatlantic blank trade. But moving on. This is a train wreck. blah. I'm not even going to read this. It's a waste of freaking time, I think. So basically, Marco Rubio voted in favor of this bill, probably because he's afraid it will ruin the economy if we don't pass it. Just like if we don't let the illegals come in, we'll ruin the economy. And if we don't pay the banks off for crashing the economy, we'll ruin the economy. And if we don't let the Fed do whatever the hell they want, it'll crash the economy. And if we tax the rich more, it'll crash the economy. I say do it. Do it all. Crash it. Crash it now. Screw this shit. It's already crashed for me. My freaking position sucks. I'm not going to say what I was thinking, but it sucks. I'm basically already living in a market crash. So I don't see how it could get any worse. Worse is better, as Tom Metzger says. Okay, that's enough of that. Oh, Father's Day, Father's Day. Of course, got to read an article about Father's Day. Father's Day. Here we go. Listen to this mindfuck of a headline. A portrait of Caitlyn Jenner on Father's Day. Kardashian clan unite with the Jenner boys to support her, and even Kanye smiling. Caitlyn Jenner celebrated Father's Day with her children. Let me read that again. Caitlyn Jenner celebrated Father's Day with her children. Did I say his or her children? What do you even say to that? I mean, the rustling, it's starting to make me rustle a little bit. My jimmies are rustling as we speak from this freaking nonsense. I just, God, what a hideous, gross-looking person, too. Bruce Jenner was an ugly fuck to begin with. And now he's even uglier. Gross. Just gross. He doesn't even really look like a woman at all. I don't... Whoever did his face job did a terrible freaking job. That magazine cover was obviously photoshopped like hell, and it still looks like a damn man. Just stupid. Just retarded. But I guess I'm transphobic. I'm afraid of trannies. No, I'm not afraid of trannies. Just afraid of having to foot the bill for stupid people's sex changes. Thank God I don't make enough money to really pay much in taxes or I'd be screwed. Jew! Here comes the Jews. Here comes the Jews. This is a article that I found earlier this week. And as soon as I saw it, I was like, what kind of... all I saw was the headline to begin with. So what kind of dumbass would do this? A couple is suing the Waldorf... suing for Waldorf wedding refund after hotel cancels reception because the groom's cousin accidentally shot in the head before the ceremony. Or shot a woman in the head before the ceremony. Apparently, this guy's gun accidentally went off when he's in the ceremony, and he shot somebody. So, these people that are definitely not subhuman shit pieces of crap on this planet are trying to sue for a refund because their dumbass, gun-toting, Christian Bible-thumping, completely non-Jewish family member decided to bring a gun to the wedding, I guess because he was afraid of Trayvon Martin's or something, and accidentally shot somebody. But that's actually not the case because they're kikes. Yes, they're kikes. I don't care. I really don't care. I don't think that's going to cause a race war because I said kike twice, three times now on a show. But these Jews, they really are brazen, and I would love if this freaking thing gets smacked down. Smacked down. The Waldorf canceled the $1 million reception due to safety concerns. Oh, the Jews, they really care about the world, don't they? They care about the little guy so much that they have million-dollar weddings. Or actually, that's $1 million. Vladimir Gotlivskovsky and what's his? Oh, no, that. Wait, who was that? He was the guy that fired the gun. Gotlibovsky. The wedding was Benjamin Braffman, a lawyer. Oh, Benjamin Braffman. There's just too many Jew names. I can't figure out who is the husband and wife here. Benjamin Braffman was the lawyer representing the bride, Anna Goldschmidt, and her husband, Ilan Strachowiczerski. That's all that really matters. Just two Jews that feel like they got Jewed on a wedding because their dumbass Jewish relative shot someone by accident during the service, probably another Jew, so they've hired a Jewish lawyer to sue presumably a Jewish venue, the Waldorf. I'm guessing it's Jewish, and nine times out of ten, you're usually right when you're talking about wealthy people. So, Jesus Christ. And right into another story about wealth. If I can get this to load. The title of this article is Top CEOs Make Over 300 Times the Wages Earned by Their Company's Average Workers, a Study Finds. It says, chieftains of America's largest corporations are raking in exorbitant sums after often leaving less money on the table to pay lower-level employees. Rise in CEO compensation often surpasses gains in stock growth, according to the Economic Policy Institute. The chief executives of America's largest firms earn three times more than they did 20 years ago. The already stagnant workers declined in the previous recovery and have declined during this one as well. They have a graph here, CEO to worker compensation ratio. Starting in 1965, the CEO worker compensation ratio was 20. They made an average of 20 times that of the average employee. The CEOs made 20 times more than the average employee of their company. So that's a little bit more accurate. It increases slowly. 1980s, it's 33. Come up to 1989, it goes up to 58.7. Yeah, no big deal. It rises up a little bit more to about 193, drops down to 87 in 94, and then what do you know, 1998 shoots up to 321. At its height was in 2000 at 376 times that of the average employee. 2002, it dropped down to 188 times. And guess what? 2007, before the crash, 345 times. And after the crash, 2009, 195 times that of the average worker. And then rose up to where it is today, or as of 2014, to 303. From 1978 to 2014, inflation-adjusted CEO compensation increased 997%, a rise almost double the stock market growth. So that's definitely disproportionate to everything. And they have a little thing up here, CEO compensation, some of the big shots, some of the five photo here is of the five highest-paid CEOs. Do you want to know who they are? David Zaslav. Discovery Communications. I'm sure he's white. Les Moonves. Oh, I'm sure he's white too. Philip Dahlman. I'm sure he's white. Viacom. Les Moonves with CBS. Robert Iger of Walt Disney. And then Marissa Mayer of Yahoo, which I've looked into that. It looks like she isn't Jewish, but there's a lot of them that there's no proof or evidence, but with a name like Mayer, M-A-Y-E-R, it begs the question. And then the rest, the next five, are Leonard Schaeffler, definitely a Jew, Regeneron Pharmaceuticals, Mark Benioff, Salesforce, Jerry Leiden, Vertex Pharmaceuticals, Brian Roberts, Comcast. He's, I think, white. He looks like a very strange-looking white person, but he doesn't necessarily look Jewish. Roberts, not Jewish name. And Jeffrey Bukes, Time Warner. I'm not sure if he's Jewish or not, but definitely a disparity there. They need some more people of color. They definitely need some more people of color in the CEOs. Oh, and I see on the side here, apparently Caitlyn Jenner is becoming a Simpsons character. Says Miss Jenner is a superhero for trans rights and new cartoons. Never mind all the other freaks that decided to become transgender. Become transgender. Freaking Bruce Jenner decides to do it, you know, and now he, she, it is a hero, even though the way has already been paved by other freaks and weirdos. Sorry, I've got a bug in here. Let's see, there was something else. I don't have an article up about it, but there was a video I had posted in the chat room earlier. It was a video of a lecture that a Jewish law firm, a Jewish speaker, was giving to, I guess, presumably businessmen on how to basically hire H-1B visa workers. And he was explaining how the process works, how you have to try to get American workers in those jobs first. You basically have to prove that there's either not enough employees in your area job category, et cetera. They aren't qualified or they're not willing to work for, I don't know if you have to prove that they're not willing to work for the going rate or whatever, but he explains in this video how they post ads in obscure newspapers and magazines and in attempts to get the least amount of resumes or applications, and then they go through the applications and they set requirements, and if you miss one requirement, if you do not meet one single requirement, they can automatically deny you. If you pass and you do meet all the requirements, they will ask basically what you want to be paid, and if their price, because I guess they have to have what they're willing to pay or whatever listed in these forms beforehand, if you're higher than what they're willing to pay, they can automatically drop you there as well. So it just shows how slimy and greasy that is, how they're openly teaching in these lectures. Here's how you get around this. Here's how you get around it. So you can hire those cheap gooks and spooks and spicks. This is how you do it. Screw the American worker. They just think they are worth too much. They think they deserve to be paid too much money. The American worker. They're too entitled, aren't they? As Rush Limbaugh likes to say, these kids these days, they come out of college and, you know, they think they're entitled to a job and they're going to make lots and lots of money, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, because that's what they're told. And that's what the stats are all showing, that everybody's making shit tons of money in this industry. Oh, we've got a huge demand, just like they did with some kind of nursing field or some kind of medical field. They pumped up, they hyped up, and acted like there was this shortage when there was no shortage at all. They just were trying to get people in universities to take the classes because there was not enough people taking those courses. And so all those people graduated, and only like 2% of them ever made it into the job because they were misled. So, take it from the CEOs, take it from the Rush Limbaughs and the Sean Hannitys, the millionaires of the world. You out there, you know, you spent $100,000 to go to college. and you think that you should make $50,000 a year with your degree, you're just too entitled. You're overvaluing yourself. You know, people like Rush Limbaugh and people like Les Moonves and all of these CEOs, you know, they do a lot of hard work. They do really hard work. You know, flying around in a private aircraft to talk about how global warming is bad, okay? You know, that's hard work. And running a company into the ground and then getting a bonus from it, you know, that's really hard too. That's really difficult. These guys got a lot of pressure on them. And, you know, if they screw up, they could lose it all. Even though not a damn one has ever lost a damn thing, it seems like, in recent history. Never mind that. You just need to be willing to work for dirt wages. In the greatest country in the world, we're the greatest country. We have the best living standard. We take care of our people. But you need to work for $8 an hour and raise your family of four off of $8 an hour. Yeah. Okay. Or $10 an hour. You can go to college and make $10 an hour when you get out. Go get an associate's and make $10 an hour. Get a bachelor's. Maybe you'll make 12 or 14. And, yeah, you can live off of that. Of course you can live off of that. Freaking ridiculous. This shit really pissed me off. Oh, and apparently Dylann Roof was anti-American. Can you believe that? Why would this kid be anti-American? This is the best country in the world. Best country in the world. Everything is great here. Why would you hate this country? I mean, come on. Come on. I mean, compared to anybody else, we are miles ahead of everyone. I mean, just look at the world around us. I just don't understand why people would hate this place. I mean, you got all this diversity, this rich diversity. You have, you know, Burger Kings and McDonald's everywhere. Who doesn't like Burger King and McDonald's? I mean, Dylann Roof likes Burger King, but he hates America. Oh, what a hypocrite. If you hate Burger King, you must hate America. I don't know. Kind of getting off here, but, I'll say I hate America. I hate the American system. I hate what it's become. I hate it with a passion. Do I hate North Korea? No. Do I hate their system? No, because I don't, for one, I don't live under it. And two, what do you expect from them? What do you expect from a country that has been completely labeled, do not basically trade, do not do anything with this country, unless you're some American corporations that like to get things programmed by North Korean people. But America, we had a lot going for us. We had a lot of promise. There were a lot of good things about it, but now, heck no. This place is a shithole. This place is a dump. This place is the third world. And people go, no. I'm sorry, but yes, it is. If you go outside your gated neighborhood or you go outside of even your little neighborhood that's not gated, go to the majority of places. They are dumps. They are shitholes. The bridges are falling apart. The infrastructure is falling apart. Everything's dated. It looks like crap. I feel like we live in the Soviet Union now because it looks like a rundown dump that nobody's even tried to, like, keep up anymore. This place is crap. So, yeah, I agree with Dylann Roof. Yeah, I hate America, even though I don't think he necessarily said he hates America, but he burnt the flag. I'd have no qualms burning the flag. The American flag is a symbol of racism. How dare you stop me from burning it? But I guess it is illegal to burn the American flag. So I probably won't be doing it, at least on video anytime soon. But seriously, that's another interesting thing with this Confederate flag nonsense. Ban it. It's a symbol of racism and oppression. How about the American flag? How about the flag that originally brought slavery to America? You stupid idiots. How about that? Let's ban the American flag. Hell, let's put the communist flag up. Let's put the hammer and sickle up on the White House and everywhere. I love that. It's better than living under a flag that's supposed to symbolize freedom and liberty and the pursuit of happiness. Bullshit. Has it been about that for a long time, at least as far as the American system? There might be individual Americans that believe that and use that as a symbol for freedom and liberty and want freedom and liberty and promote it and help others achieve it. But basically, this country is the first world for the elite, and it is the third world for everybody else. And it's going to continue to become more and more of a third world if something isn't done. I say you want to fix the world. You want to fix the third world. You want to help out these poor Africans. You want to help out the poor South Americans. I've got a solution. I came up with a great solution. It's called take all the wealth from all the fucking scum in this country and give it to the freaking beaners. Give it to the blacks in Africa. Give it to all the poor downtrodden people of this earth, because it'd be better than some piece of crap kike from CBS brainwashing our children, brainwashing our elderly, brainwashing everybody. Be better than whoever the hell owns Vanity Fair having Bruce Jenner on the cover. And like Dylan Roof said, he thinks America's being taken over by the blacks. You know what? I wish America would be taken over by the blacks, because it'd be a lot, hell of a lot easier to take it back from the blacks than it would the freaking Jews. Because white people think Jews are on their side. They're their friends. They're like us. They're white, right? They look white to me. Oh, I'm getting a little pissed off here. I'm frustrated because I've realized that everything I was told, almost every damn thing I was told up until I was about 18 was absolutely 100% bullshit. Every bit of it. None of it was true. None of it. Very, well, not, maybe not none of it, but about 1% of it was true. Another percent was half true. We've been lied to. Just lied and lied and lied to. And people don't want to accept that. But it's the truth. It's the truth. Where am I even going with this? So yeah, I think we should take all the money from the rich and we should give it to the poor non-whites to make up for racism. Even the playing field out. Because I sure as hell think it would be a lot easier to get it back from the non-whites than it will be to get it back from the damn Jews. We ought to guild them into doing that. A North Pal said, are you saying your parents lied to you? Not on purpose. But a lot of what I was taught was definitely not the truth. But they were lied to as well. We've all been lied to. All been lied to. It's just sad. I mean, it's really sad that it's just so false. Everything we've been told. Everything we've been told is just such a load of crap. It's like capitalism. And it's something I've thrown around in my head for so long. Capitalism, and I've gotten into arguments with people about it because I argue capitalism is not good. That is my argument, is capitalism is not a good thing. And people go, yes, it is. Yes, it is. It's great. What, are you against people making money? I think I should be allowed to make just as much money as I want. If I'm not breaking the law, you know, yada, yada, then why can't I make as much money as I want? And I'm like, it's really not the point. And I've been thinking about, you know, what is my problem with capitalism? What is my problem with the rich? And I've come to this conclusion. I think there was a point in time where capitalism was better. I don't know if it was ever really perfect to begin with, because I've never really found out exactly when that started. The idea that people have about capitalism in this country is, you say you're a business owner. You have a product that, say you've created, you invented a product, and you've figured out a way to produce it and figured out a way to teach other people to produce it. So you as a business owner, you find an employee and you say, hey, would you, or they say, I'd like to work here. You say, okay, well, can you do this? Can you do that? Yes. Okay, you're hired. Then you discuss wages. Person says, well, I think I should be paid this much. And then the boss negotiates and says, okay. And then you get hired. And before, we used to be more so on a production basis. So if you worked in a factory, you got paid for what you made, which is a great, great system. But in some cases, if there's not enough oversight or quality control, you can end up with a guy that's just churning stuff out, but is not doing the right job. He's not doing a good enough job of it. So there can be problems with a production-based system. There just needs to be proper oversight and honesty and integrity within your employee and your workforce. That kind of capitalism, that an equal trade agreed upon by two people, is what capitalism should be. But what capitalism in America is, the minimum wage is this low. Businesses are allowed to pay you this little. Not this much, but this little. So they basically set the price, which is extremely low based on what CEOs, upper-level management, and whatnot are making. But mainly the CEOs, the owners of these large corporations. And it's not based on what the product is worth, what the product costs to create, and what the labor costs. It's about how much can they get out of you. How much money can they suck from your wallet is what it's about. How much are you willing to pay for it? Not, I produce this product cost me $3 to make, this is my overhead, I need to make $5 on this product to break even, so I'm going to sell it for $8 or $9, and I get the rest. But under this capitalism is, I make this product, my overhead and all expenses included is $5 per product, but you stupid goyim are willing to pay $30 for this product, so I'm going to sell it to you for $30. And when you end up like we do in the economy we have, the market is so consolidated into so few hands that you end up with a monopoly that creates an even further problem of them overcharging people, because where else are you going to go, Goy? Where else are you going to go? It's just me. I'm the only one that can sell it. Or we're the only companies that can sell it, and we all work together against the people. That's the problem with this kind of capitalism. It's about extracting as much wealth as possible. It's not about doing a fair deal. And this is being very light, because a lot of these companies are breaking laws. They are violating regulations. They are screwing over employees, just like companies I've worked for that try to screw me. This company I was working for that I was doing painting apartments, they tried to screw me out of, I think, $8,500. And they've done this, like, I know somebody inside the company that said they've done this to at least 10 companies that he knew of for amounts ranging from $1,000 to $10,000. It's regular practice because they have a legal team that they pay that's on hand at all times. They have a lawyer that works for them that's willing to take up any court case that comes against them. So they're basically betting on you not suing them, or betting that they can win a lawsuit if you start one. That's capitalism as what it is now. Now, there's a lot of small businesses that don't operate that way. And that's why small businesses have a lower turnover rate, their employees are happier, and their employees are paid more. So that's why I hate capitalism. We are allowed to run fairly, fair business that works in line with communities. But the problem is it allows scumbags to just completely run right over the top of everybody else. And that's unfair. And then you throw in usury in that, and you've got a whole nother bunch of crap. Yeah. It's just not against people making money. But people always try to frame it that way because that's all they've heard. That's the canard. Oh, you must be a liberal if you have a problem with this economic system. And it's always a lot of times those people too, they love to support it. And then as soon as their ass gets fired and gets screwed, you start talking to them. They're like, yeah, this system's screwed up, man. This isn't fair. These companies don't treat people right. And as soon as they get another really good job, they're back on the bandwagon again. Oh, what are you talking about? It's great. We have the best economy in the world. Yeah, compared to what? Because we've ruined everybody else's economies? Because we've subjugated everybody else and we have them under our thumb? And anytime somebody pisses off America, America decides that they're going to put sanctions on a country? It's retarded. Another thing, too, about the argument about terrorism and Dylan Storm being a terrorist. How about America? America's freaking done acts of terrorism. The Mossadegh in Iran, the Shah, that was completely a terrorist event. Using fear to intimidate for the purpose of changing something politically, to achieve a political objective. That's the what terrorism is. And America's participated in it, and they are the biggest terrorists, besides Israel, I would say, on the planet. But those in power write the books. Those in power create the narrative. They say what's right and what's wrong. It's pretty wild stuff. But I think we really have to figure this stuff out. North Powell said, today's capitalism is not free enterprise. The government's complicity laws keep the small man and startups out of the competitive environment. It's true. It's crony capitalism. And the left, it's so funny. The left tries to act like they're against capitalism, but what I'm starting to realize, this is a thing that nobody's realized. The left, the self-described left and liberals, are the super rich now. How weird is that? Mark Zuckerberg is not a Republican. None of these media executives are Republicans. I'd even say Rupert Murdoch's not really a Republican. It's ridiculous. And I'm not talking rich. Like if you have $1 million in assets or $1 million net worth, you're nobody. Maybe 20 years ago you were something if you had that much, but now it's like you pretty much need about $5 million to really be anything. And you need $10 million to be, you have some power. You rub elbows with the right people, you can have some power. But until you get into the $50 million, $100 million, $500 million, $1 billion range, you're not like really that rich. So I don't have a problem. And see, I don't have a problem with people making as much money as they want. I don't think there should ever be a cap on what kind of money people make. But, and this is the question to ask your Republican or your conservative friends, or even your libertarians, those fucking nutty anarcho-capitalist retards that will further enslave us. You cannot make the market completely free when the market is controlled by nothing but a bunch of Jews and the same freaking people and a very select group of people. You can't just say, okay, everybody do what you want, when there's a small group that owns 50% of the wealth. You're never going to beat them. Never going to beat them if that was to happen. That's the most retarded nonsense I've ever heard. And it's definitely like there's a lot of leftist fucking weirdos that are pushing that crap behind the doors. The fag lobby is pushing a lot of that shit too. These transhumanist people as well. But I think the argument should be, when you talk to people about capitalism or about the system, economic system, to basically be like, okay, look at who the super rich are. Look at the top, the wealthiest 50 people. What kind of businesses do they run? Media, banking, finance, some real estate. Real estate doesn't seem to be quite as big anymore. Real estate, pharmaceuticals. What's some of the other major industries? You know, food, like fast food, restaurants, Walmart, Target, etc. Do these companies really provide us with products that we fully just love? Are they really great? Does McDonald's really make a great burger? Does Walmart really sell quality goods? Does Fox News really put out good news media that is accurate and in the right direction? I'm not going to say non-biased because everything's freaking biased, but in the right direction for the betterment of all Americans, even, I'll say. Does CBS put out wholesome material that is uplifting and empowering for people, or is it degenerate? Does Citibank, do they provide a good product? Are people happy with them? Do they love doing business with them? Do people love doing business with these major companies? I think most people would say, well, not really. No, I don't. If I could go to a small town business and buy a similar product, like, say, a burger, if I could go to a small restaurant or a small fast food chain and buy a burger for the same price or maybe a dollar more for the meal than what McDonald's has, I would never eat McDonald's. If people could buy the products that they buy at Walmart that are higher quality, that last and hold up like things used to in this country, for a similar price or even a little more, they would do it. Just like organic foods is starting to get that way, which shows to me just how inefficient and overpriced our food is, even though we kind of think of it as being cheap. Organic food kicks the ass of, local organic food, grown by local small farmers, not the Kraft-owned companies. Kraft-owned organic companies and whatnot, and all these other major Coca-Cola owns organic companies now. Talking about local produce, it beats. Price-wise, they are right in line with your GMO crap, with your pesticide-ridden, herbicide-ridden vegetables that look sad and frumpy, and you got to dig through a big pile of them in the Walmart to find a couple that you like, and then Walmart's going to throw away the rest. I forget how much it's like Walmart, 50% or 30 to 50% of their produce is thrown away because people don't buy it. Probably because it's beat all the freaking crap, beat all the crap before it gets there. Art and Armin asked in the chat, is Trader Joe's legit? I will say I've shopped at Trader Joe's quite a few times. Their prices are pretty good. They're not as bad as Whole Foods and a lot of them. And Trader Joe's brands, I'm trying to think of some products right off. Trader Joe's has a lot of their own products under their own brand, and they kind of have their own brands, I guess. And there's a lot of their products that are way better than any name brand organic stuff. They really do. I don't think I've ever had anything that was Trader Joe's brand that was bad. Maybe not the best, but most of their stuff is really good, and I like their business model. They are doing what all these companies should be doing, which is quit building these giant, freaking ridiculous businesses like Walmart. Build a smaller location, hire twice the employees. You have a smaller footprint, property costs less lighting, less air conditioning, and you have more people stocking food. And Trader Joe's employees are paid well. They look like they enjoy their job. They're helpful. They ask you if you need any help looking for something. They know where things are. They know the products usually pretty well. I've had a lot of products recommended that were good from them. And it's just a whole lot nicer place to shop than a Walmart or whatever. So that's the kind of business model we should be having in America right now, is a smaller, since property values are so high and, you know, all that, we should have a smaller business that hires more employees. I think that's better. And food, you know, they're always stocking the shelves, and rarely do you like ever see something that's missing on a shelf. But when you go to like Walmart, some of these bigger chains, even your local like grocery stores, I mean, it takes a lot of time. I mean, they don't even realize stuff is gone. You know, it's little bit harder to keep an eye on what they need to restock when you're in such a huge place like that. So it's a better business model, I think. So I recommend Trader Joe's. I like them. They're one of the best out of the chains around. I do like to buy produce from farmers markets, or we have a local farmer here that we buy stuff from that, like I said, it's really competitively priced, even though it's being produced, in this case, this farm in particular is being produced by a couple, two people. They have like 3 acres or so, and their stuff is really good. It doesn't look like crap, you know. You might have to wash some dirt off of it a little bit more than usual, but it tastes great. It looks great. It's not that expensive, and you know, I know where it came from. And I think it stays fresh a lot longer as well, because it's a lot more fresh than anything you're going to get at a produce store or at Trader Joe's even. It's going to be fresher than their produce, more than likely. Even though I know Trader Joe's does source a lot of stuff locally, but some of it isn't necessarily local. It might be from 5 hours away, 10 hours away. I don't know. But just the sheer fact that local producers, such as farm I buy from and all the ones that I've looked at around here, produce a quality product that is competitively priced, and they seem to be doing okay. They're not rich by any means, but they seem to make a fairly decent living at it. And it's just, you're supporting your local economy. You're supporting your you're supporting your local economy. You're supporting people around you. You know, when you give money to your Walmarts or even like a Trader Joe's too, like the larger chains, a lot of that money is going to go somewhere else. It's going to be, God knows where it's going to end up. But when I give somebody that's 2 miles away $50 for something, and they go somewhere 2 miles away or whatever and spend that $50, it stays in the community. We're basically just passing money around, playing hot potato with money at that point. And sure beats paying some Jew product produced in some Jewish-owned factory in China where the workers aren't paid crap and they're treated like shit. And the products are not quality because why would they be? They're not paid crap and they're treated like crap. I don't know if Sygard was asking, do I give Walmart money? I've been into Walmart. I bought a fan. And that's because I couldn't find one anywhere else locally, and I kind of needed one. And, God, it seems like I was in there for something else. I think that was it. That's like the only time I've been in there, other than having to go in there to buy a replacement towel bar that matched for somebody we were doing some work for. And that's been last year. So I've been in Walmart 2 times. In about 3 or 4 years. So I try to order anything like that online when I can. I'd rather wait than go into Walmart. But last time I went in there, I just people watched the whole time. I kind of made an outing of it. It was it's an entertaining activity. And gosh, is that place just... it's the future of America. Is Walmart. When you go into a Walmart, that gives you a pretty good indication of what America is going to look like in 20 years everywhere. Because it's non-whites everywhere, Mexican men walking around trying to stare up the skirts of underage girls, fat whales driving their little carts because their cankles are so big that they can't walk anymore. And what else did I see in there? Just insane white, people might get pissed off, but insane white trash people walking around in pajama bottoms with, like, teeth that look like they haven't been brushed in a year. Just gross stuff like that. But if they are out there, I think I live in a pretty high area for that. I don't see it as much in some of the surrounding areas. But it's pretty, Walmarts are definitely not my go-to place. Definitely not. I'm going to go ahead and play a song. I'm going to come back. I've still got a lot of articles to get into, but we'll see how much I get to. I don't know how much longer I'll go. So we'll see. So I'm going to load up a song here. I've probably played this one sometime in the recent past, but this is Heidvolk with Earth. I'll be back in about 5 minutes.
The Blah!
And welcome back to the Return of Tyr. We're here in the archives in the third hour. And people are saying some stuff to me in the chat. I probably should have given the call-in number before the break there, but I forgot, so I apologize for that. But yeah, we're talking about economics, local economies, Walmarts, and all that jazz. My recommendation to people on, I think the first step or the easiest thing to do, sorry, somebody's asking me something in the chat. One of the first steps is to quit funding things that you don't really support. You know, quit buying McDonald's just because it's convenient. Quit buying from Walmart just because it's convenient or easier or cheaper. Maybe sacrifice some. Don't consume as much of those products. Save up till you can buy something that's more quality, something you're going to be happy with. And what's interesting to me, this is, I think, interesting as far as poor people, is the reason why poor people stay poor in this, I think in America, why it's so easy for poor people to stay poor is because the products that they can afford are complete garbage. One example would be vacuum cleaners. Jesus, there are so many vacuum cleaners to choose from, and about 90% of them should not even exist because they're garbage. They don't work properly. So if you're low income or you know you don't make much money, you go to the store and you want to buy a vacuum cleaner and you've got, let's say, $100 to spend. So you buy the $100 vacuum, and this is pretty much from experience. This happened to me. You bring it home, you turn it on, you're like, yeah, this thing's working great. It's got good suction, everything. This is good. You know, it's kind of slick looking. So you start vacuuming up your carpets and everything, and it works good. The next week, yeah, it's still going good. You know, use it for about a month, and you're like, man, this thing is like not working so well anymore. It's clogged up. So you take it apart, you clean the filters out, and it starts working a little better. Not much better, though. And then about a few months down the line to a year, depending on how much you vacuum, the thing breaks. This falls apart. Usually 6 months, a lot of these are completely just about worthless. So you end up having to go and buy another $100 vacuum cleaner. When if you had $200, you could have bought a nicer vacuum cleaner that would have lasted you 2 years instead of two vacuum cleaners that are $100 lasting you 6 months at a time or maybe a year and a half between the two. So pretty wild shit. And that's why poor people stay poor, because they can't afford to buy something that's quality. And it used to be in America, from the way that I've seen things or just hearing people talk, I can't speak necessarily from experience, is you had higher and lower end models of things, but the lower end wasn't necessarily faulty, defective, or cheap. It was still quality. It just didn't have as many bells and whistles. It didn't look as nice, maybe. Didn't look as slick or as fancy. But it worked, and it did what it was supposed to do. But now in America, those things don't work. Try buying a cheap MP3 player. Try buying a off-brand cell phone. Now, there are a couple instances where this is not the case. But most of the time, that seems to be the case. That these products, and I can't name anything right off that I bought. I have an off-brand washing machine that actually is pretty good. I can't remember how much I paid for it. It was like maybe $300, something like that. Might not have even been that much. Might have been like $280. And it's done pretty well. I can't really complain, but that's the only product I think I've bought in recent history that wasn't just a complete piece of garbage. That was like an off-brand. And even the, you know, mainline brands like Apple, for instance. Like I have a MacBook. It's pretty old and it's broken now. Actually, the MacBook itself isn't necessarily broken, but the charger broke for it. And to buy a new charger is like $50, which is ridiculous. Because Apple's stuff, they don't let people make generic blah, 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 got patents out their ass on it. So I quit using it, but there was some things on it, like the case was starting to crack and fall apart. You know, things like that. And then the iPhones as well, like, they're really not that quality. If you ask me, I mean, I think the operating system is pretty good, as well as the Mac, their operating system, and the way it's set up, it is pretty quality compared to Windows. I mean, just comparing it to crap, I guess, to other garbage. It's really hard to compare products anymore because they're so evenly crappy. And then sometimes it just depends on the model. Sometimes a model is defective, just like cars. It's like a Chevy S10s. There's certain models that were really great depending on what engine transmission combo you had in there. And then some of them, within like, you know, just a year or two apart, they had some difference or change that is made it a piece of junk. Sometimes it, with computers and electronics, it can come down to one chip on a motherboard that is not quality that it should have been, that burns out, and your choice is to just buy a new motherboard, or, you know, take out that chip, or in many cases, capacitors on motherboards. I see Sigard mention you can solder them in, but you got to know what you're doing, and you got to order it. I mean, very few people know how to do that, and the way things are designed, they're not made to be maintained. They're not made to be fixed anymore because they don't want you to fix them. Now, what kind of society do we live in where we're so advanced that we create products that are just thrown away? What kind of great environmentalist society do we live in where everything's just discarded like that? I mean, think about the amount of electronics and batteries and whatnot that we just throw in the trash. That's normal. Because the freaking Jews want to charge you to recycle it so they can make money off of it. That's the most ridiculous crap I've ever seen. It's like charging people to put money in your bank. It's like, yeah, you're going to have to pay a dollar every time you make a deposit here. It costs us a lot of money to hold your money and loan it out, but we don't really loan your money out. We just create money based on the money that you have and loan it to people. That's really hard work, isn't it? So that's what it comes down to as far as we've been lied to about a lot of things. And it's just like I said today, pretty much with the average person, within three sentences of them saying something, they're completely, maybe not completely wrong, but mostly wrong about things. And it can be frustrating for people that are at least somewhat educated on things. I'm not the most educated on things, but based on the average that person that I run into, they are really unaware. I don't think they're stupid, but they're ignorant. And a lot of that comes from they're distracted. Their interests are elsewhere. They're too busy working, too busy spending time with their family, too busy going on vacations or doing this or that. And they don't really read. They don't really learn. They watch TV. They watch CNN or they watch Fox News or they watch MSNBC, and they think, well, you know, I'm learning something. But you're learning lies. You're not really learning the truth. It's kind of scary. It's kind of scary. But it's pretty surprising just how throwaway everything is, yet we're supposedly way more environmentally conscious than we used to be. We're all about environmentalism. I would like to see an environmentally conscious nation that does reuse, because that's what people used to do. They used to reuse everything they had, especially during the Great Depression. And before that, they reused a lot of stuff as well. It wasn't quite as dire then, but it just makes sense. But no, we got to go and we got to upgrade our phone every 2 years. We got to upgrade our phone every year, some people. Oh, I got to get the new iPhone. I've got the iPhone 3. I need the iPhone 4. Oh, now I need the iPhone 5. iPhone. I don't even know what iPhones they got now. I think they're up to 6. I don't know. 6 million. Is the iPhone 6 million? The amount of cell phones, that's pretty mind-boggling. The amount of cell phones that are thrown away. When you think of the burners people use for illicit activities, along with other phones, phones that break and they get them replaced. Wild. That's pretty scary stuff. And I think it shows, you know, you go into the store and they're like, this is a $200 phone, but if you sign a 2-year contract, we'll give it to you for free. And then you can come in another 2 years and you can re-up that contract and we'll have a phone that's even better than this by 2 years, twice as good as this, and we'll give it to you for free too. How about that? That makes sense. How are they able to produce these cell phones and just give them to you for free? And you pay, you know, $50 to $100 a month for your cell phone bill. It just shows how much they're making off of. They must have very little cost associated with running these GSM or, you know, mobile networks. It must be practically free to operate. But then again, they're dealing with quantity over quality in that as well. There's mass amount of people with cell phones. Interesting. Dave Mansfield said, right now MSNBC has 3 black guests and Hannity has 2 black guests. But they are good blacks. So, of course. Of course. Racist Fox News. Even though Fox News looks just as multicultural as MSNBC and CNN now. But they're racist. They're totally racist. Yeah, all the people on Fox News that are non-white are self-hating. I read that on Salon.com probably. If not, they'll probably have an article about it soon. I just saw that I had this one up here. Apparently, Rachel Dolezal told a Hispanic student that she wasn't Hispanic enough. I thought this was interesting. I haven't heard anybody else bring this up or seen it posted really anywhere else. So I'll just read this short part about it. It says, the student said that the incident occurred within the first 3 weeks of an introductory course on race and culture. Dolezal introduced an activity she called Fishbowl, in which one student sat in front of the class as others were invited to ask them questions about their racial and cultural experiences. In the first round of Fishbowl, the student said Dolezal sought out a volunteer of a Hispanic background to be questioned. The student, who told BuzzFeed News that she identifies as Hispanic, grew up in a Spanish-speaking country, speaks the language fluently, and while she has light skin, believes she has a pretty solid experience of what it's like to be Spanish, she raised her hand to participate. I think we should ask another student, the student recalled Dolezal saying in class. The student asked why she could not participate. Rachel said, I didn't look Hispanic. She said, and that her instructor doubted that I could share experiences of racial or ethnic discrimination because I didn't have the appearance of looking Hispanic. It says, you need to be properly Hispanic to impress Rachel Dolezal. Next time, try tanning your face orange and wearing a sombrero everywhere. That's some funny shit. funny stuff. Let's see if I got any other interesting articles. Yale hosts workshop teaching sensitivity to bestiality. Yale hosted a sensitivity training in which students were asked to consider topics such as bestiality, incest, and accepting money for sex. The workshop was entitled Sex, Am I Normal? Because I need a college and other people to validate how I feel about myself. But I don't care what people think about me, but I need to go to a workshop titled Sex, Am I Normal? Okay, yeah, that makes sense. You guys obviously are on the ball. This is interesting. It says that the students anonymously asked and answered questions about sex using their cell phones and viewed the responses in real time in the form of bar graphs. The session was hosted by sexologist Dr. Jill McDevitt, who owns a sex store called Feminique in Westchester, Pennsylvania. Survey responses revealed that 9% of attendees had been paid for sex. 3% had engaged in bestiality. This is at Yale, people. It's Ivy League. This is a prestigious school. 9% of the attendees had paid for sex. 3% have engaged in bestiality. And 52% have participated in consensual pain during sex. Sick. McDevitt referred to the range of activities discussed in the workshop as sexual diversity. We're not all heterosexual, able-bodied folks who have standard missionary sex, she says. Don't judge other people because we all have something we are embarrassed about. Well, don't judge Dylan Roof for shooting up a church. I think he's embarrassed about it, guys. I think we shouldn't judge him. Oh, here's an interesting article, and I say troll the shit out of this bitch because she does things on the internet. Carrie Coddett, K-E-R-R-Y-C-O-D-D-E-T-T. She's an actress, comedian, and a writer. She's got a video titled White on White Crime on YouTube, and I recommend you to troll the crap out of it because this lady will probably get triggered and freak out. I already made a comment up there. Let me see if it's still up because I think she might be censoring the comments. it's a satire about white on white crime on the Carrie Coddett channel. And it's basically, I don't know how to explain it necessarily, but basically it's trying to act like white people act like black on black crime or all black or all crime is done by black people when white people commit more violent crimes against white people or more violent crimes in general than black people. So I made a very trollish comment, which it sounds bad. It sounds like I'm being legit till you click on the image that I posted, which I'm sure a lot of people do. But I said, right on. I don't know why we are so focused on black crime in America. The true epidemic is white on white crime. Come on, people. Just look up the FBI crime statistics. More white people are killed by white people every year in the U.S. than black people kill other black people. White people make up 63% of the population, and black/African-Americans are only 17.9%. We need to quit worrying about the minority and focus on the majority. Everything you need to know is contained in this image. And you click on the image, and it says, Murder of Blacks and Whites in the U.S. 2013. This is from the 2013 FBI Crime Report Expanded Homicide Data Table number 6. And it shows whites killed by blacks. And this is Murder of Blacks and Whites in the U.S. 2013 per 100,000 members of the murderer's race. Whites killed by blacks. 9.83. Blacks killed by whites, 0.77. So already the whites killed by blacks versus blacks killed by whites ratio, what is that? It's about a factor 11 times. Blacks kill whites 11 times more, almost 12, I think. I'm trying to do the math in my head. Maybe 13 times, actually. I'm really bad with math, but you do the math. 9.83 whites killed by blacks and 0.77 blacks killed by whites. Whites killed by whites, 10.22. So whites kill whites equal to that of blacks killing whites. Blacks killed by blacks, 53.94. What this stupid retard on the Huffington Post in this article, White on White Crime and Unspoken Tragedy, Carrie Coddett, she's an actress, comedian, and a writer. Obviously not a good one. The video that she posts to this article has 13,000 views, okay, and has 64 thumbs ups, thumbs downs. Really, I think I've got a video that's got like 1,000 views with almost 100 thumbs ups on it, for crying out loud. She probably paid some gooks to boost her numbers, and even that didn't work. But anyway, she says, "The ugly truth is white-on-white crime does exist. It is a growing pandemic in the white community, and if we don't call attention to this problem soon, there will be no more white people left to run the world. Most of the conversation surrounding crime involves black people, who selfishly take all the credit for being criminals. Blacks are notorious for being called thugs and gangsters, but the real MVPs, most violent people, are whites. Every day in cities across the country, people die at the hands of white people. What's more, they're killing their own kind. According to the U.S. Department of Justice statistics, 84% of white people killed every year are killed by other whites. In 2011, there were more cases of whites killing whites than there were of blacks killing blacks. Between 1980 and 2008, a majority, 53.3% of gang-related murders were committed by white people, with a majority of the homicide victims being white as well." See, this is what the left and these dumbasses do, is they say, see, white people kill more white people than blacks kill blacks. A majority of gang-related crimes were committed by white people in America. Never mind that white people make up, 63% of the population, and blacks only make up 17%. Yet, whites kill whites based on their population the same rate that blacks kill whites. Doesn't make sense, does it? But it makes sense to her in this context, because she's a fucking retard. In America, whites commit the majority of crimes, because they are the majority. Go to Africa. Are you going to go to Africa and say that blacks commit the majority of crimes? White people are perfect. White people don't do anything wrong in Africa. You need to stop talking about any white crimes in Africa, because the majority of crimes are committed by those evil Negroes. They're evil. Look at them. Are you going to go to Asia and say, these gooks, they're terrible. They commit way more crimes than black people do in China. Never mind that blacks probably don't even make up a 0.01% of the population in China. No, never mind that. That doesn't matter. I guess black people think that there's as many black people in America as there are white people. Probably because they're so racist, they only hang out with black people. They're not diverse enough. They don't get around. They don't talk to people enough to realize that, hey, there's a lot more white people here than black people. But I digress. What's even more troubling is that they are also responsible for the vast majority of violent crimes, speaking of white people. In 2013, whites led all other groups in aggravated assault, larceny, theft, arson, weapons carrying, and vandalism. When it comes to sexual assault, whites take the forcible rape cake. They also are more likely to kill children, the elderly, family members, their significant others, and even themselves. They commit more sex-related crimes, gang-related crimes, and are more likely to kill at their places of employment. In 2013, an estimated 10,000 people died in the U.S. due to drunk driving crashes. Driving while drunk is almost exclusively a white crime, because everyone knows black people prefer to drink on their porches or inside their homes. Well, man, this I think she's got some internal anti-blackness thing going on here. So why is white-on-white crime so prevalent, one may ask? Because they're the majority, and because beaners are considered white under the FBI crime statistics? And maybe that's why drunk driving is a white epidemic, because it's actually Hispanics, quote-unquote Hispanics, mestizos, beaners, spics, whatever you want to call them. They're the ones that I keep seeing killing people in driving wrecks. Yeah, I see some white people doing it too, but I also see black people, but the majority seems to be Mexicans or South Americans. But never mind that. Facts and reality doesn't matter. It's just what something on a piece of paper says that they can make it say, even if it doesn't even, if it's taken out of context. So is the music, so why is white-on-white crime so prevalent, one may ask? Is it the music they listen to? Is it the white divorce rate resulting in more white children coming from broken homes? Perhaps it's the TV shows they watch or the violent sports they play. More than likely is a combination of all those things, with the exact root cause unclear. What is clear, though, is that not enough people are talking about the crime plaguing the white community. We need to spread the word, holding protests and demonstrations that call attention to this growing matter, because after all, white lives matter too. What a little bitch. No white person in the movement has written something that's this freaking, like, anti-black in this way, satirically. Nobody said, oh yeah, because after all, black lives matter too, don't they? Nobody's ever even done that. They probably should, though. And what she's saying is, she's basically flipping the script. Is it the music they listen to? Is it the divorce rate? Is it the broken homes? Is it the TV? Is it the violent sports? Because those are the things, at least the music, the divorce rate, broken homes, are things that they say cause black crime. But the difference is, those things do cause black crime. And those things do cause white crime. Coming from broken homes, divorce rate, music, because let's face it, the white gangs running around are mostly a bunch of wiggers running with black dudes. And they can be some pretty brutal pieces of crap. I've seen it around here because they're trying to prove themselves to their little black friends that they're tough, that they're down with the struggle or something. But yeah, that's just more nonsense. So troll the shit out of her. She deserves it. She's a piece of crap. And don't know what else to say on that. I'm going to read a few headlines probably and end the show out. So I'm kind of getting a little tired of this stuff. So here's the Blitz. Genetically modified jellyfish lamb accidentally hits French dinner plates. Rubus, a lamb containing a jellyfish protein that makes skin transparent and glow in the dark, entered the French food chain after being accidentally sold to an abattoir. Genetically modified foods are banned in France. At least they do something right in France. That's all I'm going to read. Death penalty in the case of Glenn Kill All the Christians, Fraser Miller. is a tricky proposition because he's going to die anyway, so who gives a fuck? So Glenn Miller's going to die soon, whether they give him the death penalty or not, because he's sick. New Black Panthers announced 2 Charleston rallies for this week. Gotta love it. It's going to coincide with what groups did it say they were going to be coinciding with? Bobby Worthy of Justice League, Nation of Islam, Siso Love, S South Carolina DJ, Black Lives Matter, CHS, Huey Newton Gun Club, massive national demonstration. One of those people mentioned was the woman that was calling for race war in Charleston in a video. You can look that up. Here's something that I wanted to bring up that I saw earlier this week. Some of you may remember, and I cannot for the life of me remember what show this was on, but I would like to see or find it, because I can't remember what my estimate was. There was a show I did where I was talking about pedophilia in the UK, and I was reading an article, and I made a prediction, or not a prediction, but I gave an estimate of the amount of pedophiles that I think are in the UK. Well, a new article has come out. It's the title, "Up to 750,000 men living in the UK pose a sexual risk to children. Shock, new figures reveal." Research by the National Crime Agency, which has been dubbed the UK's FBI, found that almost one in every 35 adult males could be a potential abuser or interested in sick online child porn. Mr. Gormley said as many as 250,000 men at large were true pedophiles who pose a threat to girls under 12. What I don't like here is they're just talking about men, even though there's been quite a few high-profile cases of child molestation by women in the UK. There was one girl in particular, or she's like 20-something-year-old, that was molesting the 15-year-old. That was just like, it was a pretty wild case. I can't remember all the details, but it was really brazen. She didn't like give a fuck about any of it. She didn't think she had done anything wrong and pretty much acted like she was just going to keep on doing it. She got kind of a slap on the wrist. But they're saying pose a threat to girls under age of 12. So I guess 12 to 18 doesn't matter, or 12 to 16 doesn't matter, and it's only girls. Only girls being molested by men that matter in this study. But I can't remember. I think I might have said like 1 in 50 men in the UK are pedophiles based on the amount of like stuff I see. And it's not just the Packies. There's a lot of white pedophiles. Like I think the story in question that I read was a group of like 8 different guys, I think it was, in the UK, and they were all, as far as I could tell, they were all white. One or two looked like they might have had a little bit of admixture, but their names were not, you know, Packy names. They were pretty white British English names, and they were going around molesting infants and filming it and doing live streams to each other. So, pretty sick stuff. Also, related to this subject, payoff scandal. Child protection chief who failed to speak out about Pakistani gangs rehired on $1K a day. A senior child protection officer who was criticized for failing to speak out about widespread sexual abuse by Pakistani gangs has quit her post with a six-figure payoff. Six-figure payoff, only to be immediately rehired on almost £1,000 a day. Sue Berlewitz, I bet she's white, right? Yeah, she's white like me, as Tim Wise, obviously a white man, would say. Sue Berlewitz, who was Deputy Children's Commissioner for England, received a £134,000 payoff when she took voluntary redundancy at the end of last month, but was rehired the next day as a consultant. She caused anger in 2012 when she wrote a report denying there was a growing number of Pakistani grooming gangs in Rochdale and Rotherham, insisting that abuse was carried out by men of all backgrounds. However, an independent inquiry later found that at least 1,400 children in Rotherham had been abused by men of mainly Pakistani descent between 1997 and 2013. Ridiculous. Ridiculous. This world is on fire, I swear. The world is on fire. I don't really have much else to say. I was going to get into some of the recent stuff I've been reading. In particular, there's been this ongoing debate over women over at the Daily Stormer that I think has been very interesting. It's made me definitely think about a lot of things. I see the reasoning behind some of what they have to say, but it seems rather ridiculous to me. This is from, I guess I'll end it on this. Daily Stormer, questions for pro-white feminists. Even though I think it's funny how, you know, they get slandered for being supremacist or racist, or some people are embracing racist, but, you know, we get slandered by these different terms from people, and then they go around and, because somebody wrote an article on a website called waronwhitegirls.wordpress.com titled Warning, White Women Declared Number One Enemy. And it says, all over social media, pro-white girls are being viciously attacked by English-speaking white males. Ladies, if you've been attacked, it was probably by one of these types. If you see posts similar to what is shown below, you know that you're dealing with mad men. They are vermin and out on the warpath. Once you identify them, block them as fast as you can. Now, the only comment before the comments were shut down on this website, and I don't know anything really about it, but the only comment was a track back or whatever they call it, to Veronica Clark's website. So this is probably Veronica Clark posting this. And you know what? She's a mad asexual. I'm not going to call her a woman because I don't even know if I'm supposed to call her a woman or not. Based on that, she's asexual. She likes to dress like a man, I think, and some stuff. So I don't know, but all it is quotes. All it is quotes and quotes and quotes from Andre Anglin and from people that posted on the Daily Stormer and MGTOW people and whatnot. And so that prompted Andre to write the article, Pro-White Feminists Attack Daily Stormer and White Males Generally. I'm sorry, but the only thing that this person said was what I just read. The rest of it's just quotes and screenshots. So who is being emotional? The person that says we're being attacked by feminists because they post quotes from yourself and other people and do a little write-up saying that they're being attacked by men? Who's being more emotional? I guess you could argue both sides, but I would say it's pretty ridiculous. Track like, we're being attacked by pro-white feminists that don't self-identify as feminists, but they are because they're mad at us because we're mad at them. It's just a big freaking retarded back and forth, but I thought this bullet point list was pretty funny. It says, questions for pro-white feminists. What have they done in the modern era? A brief and incomplete bullet point list. Women have murdered our children. Women have continually voted and lobbied for policies of racial, cultural, and social destruction. Women have withheld marriage and family from men, preferring instead to stroke their own egos. Women have refused to make themselves presentable for men, getting fat and wearing pants. Need I remind you that Leni Riefenstahl wore pants? So I guess Leni Riefenstahl was a feminist that never achieved anything because what have women done? He goes on to say later on here, have they invented something useful? Have they progressed society in some other way? Have they done one single thing of any value whatsoever that couldn't have been done by either a hooker or a paid surrogate mother? So I'll continue with this bullet point list, but you can find pictures of Leni Riefenstahl wearing pants, the great filmmaker of Triumph of the Will, which I think has been shared on this website, which pretty much made movies and documentaries and TV, as far as filmography, cinematography, made it what it was. There's some very innovative things that she did, but maybe a man told her to do it. I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe so, maybe not. Women have forced their way into our workplaces and demanded we accommodate their inability to compete with us. There is some truth to that. The feminist movement did put women in the workplace, but where did that feminist movement come from? Was that really grassroots, or was that the corporate people basically saying, hey, we only have 50% of the people working for us. We need to get these women into the workplace. We can water down the market, pay everybody less, get more labor out of them. And, you know, there's a lot of other breakdown of the family as well. Communism supported that. So he's kind of right, kind of wrong, I think, on that. I think feminists did push it through, but only because they were just like Femin. Femin isn't a feminist group. They're run by men. Dude, there's a dude that runs freaking Femin, for crying out loud. But it's not that they're completely guiltless in it, I wouldn't say, but where's the root at is the question. And it's not to blame all men either, but it just seems rather, I think, facetious, and it's not exactly completely the whole truth. Women have continually attacked and degraded masculinity and demanded power over us. Yeah, and the faggot men haven't done that. No, faggot men haven't done that at all. Women have punished our boys for being boys in an attempt to remove masculinity from society. I agree with that. But have all women done that? No, I don't think so. Women have used the legal system to leech our resources while giving us absolutely nothing in return. So those are the questions. I thought they were interesting questions. I just don't. It just seems to me like there's definitely some points to be made. There's a lot of truth there. But you're acting like a woman about it, dude. You're doing exactly what you accused them of doing. How many articles have you written about this? I mean, you're acting like you think you might be wrong deep down somewhere. But you keep writing, and that's why you keep writing articles about it. Either that or it just drums up traffic to the website, and maybe that's what it's about. I don't know. I don't really take him seriously because I've seen him do things like this before that make me really go, is he serious or is he just trying to be controversial just to be controversial? I don't know. What do you guys think about that? Just ridiculous. Yeah. White race should be bred out. He'd already, I guess he said he was trolling when he said that. Oh, I was drunk. I was joking around when I said the white race should be bred out while his total fascism domain was already registered. I don't know. I wouldn't take advice from this guy. It's not somebody I look up to, even though he's right about a lot of things. But, you know, he's got a problem with women and the way women are, but, you know, like I said in the comments, I guess, you know, I think Andre's got mommy issues. He doesn't have daddy issues. He has mommy issues. Maybe it's the lack of sandwiches his mom was making for him as he was growing up while she was working as a professional Christian brainwasher with her husband that likes to turn women against their men. Go look up the reviews. Morning Star Counseling in Ohio. Morning Star, the Luciferian Morning Star, right? Academy or counseling in Ohio. Lots of reviews before Andre was involved in anything saying that Greg Englund is a manipulating person that likes to try to build like a cult around himself and turn the women against their husbands rather than fixing the relationships. Family wrecker, home wrecker, sociopath or a psychopath. So, good question. He doesn't seem to have a problem, I guess maybe until recently, of having donations sent to his family's business to be forwarded to him. also, one thing, I don't know if I've ever mentioned this on the show, There's this picture of him. If you look it up, you can probably find it. It's a picture of Andre that he posted to prove who he was back on Total Fascism. Picture of him holding up a license. The only problem, it's a driver's permit. And the date is correct. 1984 is the date he was born. And this picture was taken like maybe 2012, 2013, something like that. It's got a driver's permit that's a current issue. Only problem is you can't get a driver's permit if you're over 16. So why does he have a driver's permit? How does he have a driver's permit when the law states that you just have to go get a license if you're over 16? Look into that. That's pretty weird. I don't know what to make of that unless there's an exception. And I know the laws in my state are 16, and I looked up the laws in his state, and they read the same way. I went and got a permit when I was 15. but weird stuff. I mean, the guy's got some weird stuff that's out there, but some of us do. I mean, a lot of us have stuff in our past that we're not proud of, or things that we do that might make us look bad, maybe untrustworthy. Maybe some of us were wiggers, listening to rap music or something like that, you know. But seems like he's tried to obfuscate anything related to what he's done in the past, and tries to hide from it, tries to blame other people for trolling him and making up things that are, I mean, he's denied stuff that came out that, I mean, they had audio recordings of it, tried to deny it, tried to buy the rights to the audio recording of him saying the white race should be bred out. Just slimy type of political nonsense, if you ask me. But I don't know, I'd be interested to see where it goes. It seems like the big thing that they've been pushing for a while, him and Sven, I've seen them push this. This goes from this quote: women engage in exactly the same type of behavior as Jews, attempting to undermine everything that white men do for their own purposes. We can see this in the Eden myth. It was the Jew who offered the apple, but it was the woman who insisted we ate it. Or eat it. I don't know. I guess it goes both ways. It could be ate or eat in that context. So, Eve gives you the apple. It's your fault. I mean, it's her fault. Not your fault. So somebody comes up to you on the street and offers you drugs, it's their fault. You're guiltless. They gave it to you. They told you to try it. It was their fault. Now the other mistake would be to say, well, it's completely your fault. I would say you're both at fault. Just like a drug dealer, you know. The drug dealer's at fault as well. Still breaking a law as well. So there's that. Check it out, whatever. Don't check it out. I don't care. But it is fascinating. It is fascinating. Somebody said, I think said, get him on for an interview. Maybe it's been a while since anybody's tried to get him on the network. It pretty much seemed like he refused after he did a show with Lou. He did an interview with Lou way back. It'd be probably interesting to listen to. There could be some nuggets in that. After that, like, he really didn't want to have anything to do with us. And a lot of people like him are afraid to come here because we allow people to call in, and we have some pretty crazy callers, and we say some pretty crazy stuff. I think they don't want that. They want to know that you're not going to ask them hard questions, that you're not going to bring up certain issues. And I don't really want to interview somebody that is going to have conditions like that. But maybe I would. I just don't feel like I don't think I can really debate the women issue in the context that he's put it in. I don't think I can really debate it as well as maybe some other people can. But I do think he's wrong on many issues related to it. I think mainly it's not necessarily that he's wrong about what he's saying. It's his attitude about it that is wrong. He's basically kind of the other spectrum of the thing. It's kind of belittling about it. Oh, but I guess I'm a white, what do they call it? White knight, because I support women and don't think that women should be banned from driving and have their voting rights taken away. I'm a white knight cuck faggot because I don't think women should be banned from voting. Oh, God. All hail Lord Andre, 5'3". 1488, 5'3 is his height. But now I'm getting into, what is it, name-calling. People making fun of him. He says, the majority responses to my positions have been personal insults, mostly the following. You have a small penis, you are gay, you are a virgin, you're angry, you can't get a girl, and you hate women. Nobody's saying anything about him being short, apparently. He's short, too, so. But hey, it's genetics. He must be genetically inferior, right? He's just a genetically inferior person. I mean, this is the kind of stuff that he does. He's basically said the same kind of crap about women as they're saying about him. Well, you just have a small penis. You just have a this. You just have a that. You just hate men. Saying the same thing to them. It's a big circle jerk, retarded bunch of nonsense, if you ask me. I just realized how ridiculous it is after reading some of this stuff again. So, funny stuff. I want to see where it go. It'll be interesting. But let's play a song here. I'm going to end out with Heidvolk again with the song De Tokomost, something like that. It's listed twice. De Tokomost Langt, something like that. I don't know. It's kind of a French accent, I think. But I think it's German. But I'm going to end out with this song. Thank you for listening. Tune in next week. Tune in to all the great shows. And take care, everybody.